Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings right here at MSG+. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Gil Alexander. Matt Brown is here. Danielle Alvari and Kelly Bidlin. It's what we do each and every Monday through Friday night, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here at MSG+. And on the radio side for the second 2 hours of our show at SiriusXM Channel 204. Shall we update the pre-flop lines for World Series Game 2, sir, before it starts?
Minus 143 on the Dodgers in what we assume to be a bullpen game. Plus 123 on the Rays with Blake Snell on the hill. Total at 8. If you want the over, shaded 113, minus 108 on the under. And guys, I've been leaning this way all night.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I talked to Joe. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the alt total of 7.5.
Ooh.
Over as opposed to the 8, because I've got to pay 113 anyway. Mm-hmm. on the over. I'll pay the 127 on the over 7.5 so that this 8 doesn't push me. Then I'm going to go ahead and win that bet. So I'm going to take the 127 there, Kelly, on the over 7.5. Was looking at the 7, it gets real expensive.
I was just about to ask you, what is the increase in price to the 7?
Because 175.
Right, and the reason for that is if you get to 3-3, you're guaranteed a push. So it will cost you to get that guarantee. You didn't want any part of that.
That's 175 is pretty expensive.
Because as soon as you said that, I'm like, what's the 7?
Yeah. I wanted the 7, mm-hmm. which is what I did yesterday, right? Because the line was at 7.5. I took the 7 alt line because it was some pennies, but it wasn't that expensive. But pretty expensive to get to that 175. So I'll roll the dice a little bit, but I mean, it's only costing me 14 cents to get that half run to where it's not going to push for me. It's going to be a win. So I'll take that.
Did we get a little Dodgers money here at the end? I'm seeing it tick up by the minute here. Minus 143 I'm seeing now on the Dodgers.
Yeah, we are getting it. It's come in pretty steadily. About every 15 minutes, we get another penny or two that keeps coming in.
Yeah. Here's the thing, of course, bullpen game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if they win this, they're going to have a Walker Buehler Charlie Morton matchup on Friday in Game 3. And Walker Buehler, to me, as you know, with apologies to Clayton Kershaw and everybody who loves Clayton Kershaw, that's the true ace of the Dodgers staff.
Do you feel like, we know that it's not a must-win until it's a must-win, but do you feel like this is a must-win for the Rays?
I do. I absolutely do. And as someone holding all kinds of Dodgers tickets, to me, this is the night to just absolutely drive it home. Like, this is, if they go up 2-0 and I've got Buehler in pocket in Game 3,
right,
I'm feeling really good.
And another 2 Kershaw starts if needed.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the schedule. Again, there's a day off. We finally have a day off in this 2020 postseason in the bubbles. So we had a day off tomorrow. We'll watch some football. It won't bother us. And then technically, Tampa Bay becomes the home team, but we're still going to be at Globe Life Field in Arlington. And we'll have a Friday and a Saturday game, Sunday if necessary. Then there would be another day off on Monday. And then you would have a Game 6, Game 7 if necessary, Tuesday and Wednesday. I just don't see us getting to that Game 6 and Game 7. I really don't.
I feel like if you go down, and the reason I ask that is because I honestly do feel like this is a must-win for the Rays. You get the best scenario you can get, which is a bullpen game right here. You're not facing one of the two stud starters for them. And if you don't get this, as you mentioned, you get Buehler, Kershaw twice if necessary, and you're going to have to win 4 of those. You know, you're going to have to win. It's just not going to happen. So if you're coming back here, if you're down 2-0 here, I think you could probably go ahead and stick a fork in them.
Last night, Richard Deitch reporting this. Last night, total number, I'm curious if you guys, and this has nothing to do with betting, but I'm just curious if this surprises you at all. And I'll go to the phone just to get this number correct. So forgive me here for the bad form. Game 1, this is from Richard Deitch, I believe it's pronounced. Game 1 drew 9.2 million viewers on Fox. The least watched World Series games since sporting events have been measured for viewership nationally. Oh my. How do you feel about that? Does that surprise you? With the Dodgers involved, does that surprise you? Does me.
Yes, but I think the East Coast matters so much when we start talking almost any sports championship, and I don't think the Rays are going to be – the best team to have involved.
No,
for
that. Maybe the worst, actually.
Yeah, I mean, if it was the Dodgers, Astros, or the Dodgers, Yankees, obviously exponentially more viewers.
Right, and I guess my point is, I think the Yankees matter way more to a number like that than the Dodgers do too. Like, I don't even think it's that close when you talk that.
But 9.2 million, and again, we could care less because we're just trying to make money. So hey.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Count us
in. We'll take anybody. Just put it on the TV, please. Yeah.
That's right.
Well done, guys. After we talked about this alternate over 7.5.
Yeah.
Up to -132. Right. People are pounding it out there. Well done, fellas.
All right.
Well done.
Were you just patting yourself on the back? Yeah, I know you're including all of us. But
let's do this. Let's do this. Yeah, this is nice. Right. The over 7 now moved to 180.
Over 7 moves to 180. By the way, before the game starts, let me sort of throw something at you, and apologies for not having prepped this at all. But the Big Ten starts college football this weekend. Do you? Obviously, the SEC, when it started, staggered into the season. Like, it was kind of a big deal, even if, you know, college football was quirky, squirrely, whatever word you want to use to start things off. But now it's the Big Ten. Are you excited for 8 Big Ten games? Will you be excited for 6 Pac-12 game schedules? Or are you having trouble warming to college football? Or once baseball clears, because this is where I am, once baseball clears, I'll get into it at its appropriate time.
Yeah, I mean, so we talked about this. Like, I didn't think that college football was going to happen this year. I typically spend 80 to 100 hours, you know, prepping for college football, you know, in a year. And I did zero because I just didn't. I was like, I'm not going to spend that time.
We were all absolutely, the same way.
Yeah, right. For absolutely no reason. And so I'm with you. It's going to take kind of like the schedule clearing out for me to say, okay, now I'm going to have time to really dig in and really start to look at things. One thing I did notice, though, and this was one of the lines over at DraftKings is, when we're looking at player futures, you know, we were talking about the other day that Trevor Long, you know, these numbers about Mac Jones. I think last week, what was it, 600 or 550 or something like that on Mac Jones?
Yes.
He goes out, has a big game beat, and they beat Georgia. Now we're looking at Trevor Lawrence at -167.
Oh, man.
To win the Heisman.
Yeah.
But Mac Jones all the way down to +350. He is ahead now of Justin Fields, who is at 6-1. I almost feel like that's a bet you just make on principle because
I don't see it.
He went from +200 to +600 and he hadn't played a down yet.
But do you think, when you think of Alabama though, don't you think Jalen Waddle's the best player on that team? So to me, no matter, like, Mac Jones will throw a 90 yarder or whatever, 70 yarder Jalen Waddle. I mean, how much of that is Mac Jones? To me, this is not a Tua level quarterback. And so
I'm talking about Justin Fields.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry.
So Jones moves into the second favorite. Fields goes from +200 to +225-ish to 6-1 now.
Oh, okay.
+600.
Now I'm with you.
Without even taking a snap.
Right.
Right? Could go out in short season, I get it, and definitely Lawrence's award to lose. But what if he just has just this epic run where he was the short shot literally a week ago and now he's 6-1.
Well, it's exactly what we talked about last night with Tua, right? Tua, sight unseen, was 10-1. And by the way, there's some other places you can get him for better, right? 14-1 I heard today on the radio side. But it's the exact same thing. It's like, well, what if Tua leads the Dolphins to a division title or at least flirts with it? That's something Joe Burrow. That's something Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert can't do in their respective divisions. So isn't that just worth a shot on Tua for that reason alone? And what you're saying is kind of the college equivalent to that, which is, you know, we don't know who's going to be in the playoffs ultimately, but it's probably a pretty good shot that Ohio State's going to get there. And so why wouldn't you take a shot at 6-1 if a guy like Mac Jones is a shorter shot than him right now?
Yeah,
that's we I think Matt's argument of the price move alone.
Yes.
That would be good enough of a reason for me to say, fine, go make that bet. But I guess, when we went back to talking about college football in general, you know, probably about a week ago, where it's just, how do you fairly figure out who's going to be in this playoff with some of these teams playing 6 games? This is just a market I feel like I'd be scared to make a bet in at all because you don't know how people are going to vote on this stuff. I mean,
we touched on that with Pete Futak last week, right? Where it's like, okay, if USC goes 6-0 to complete their Pac-12 schedule, But BYU, I used North Carolina at the time, but North Carolina lost to FSU this weekend. But let's say BYU runs the table. You really putting a Pac-12 team in there over them?
That's
six games?
I mean, we are all going to have our own opinions on that stuff, but I'll tell, I mean, it's and Heisman Trophy might be the best example over the years. It's impossible to try to read these, the media members' minds that vote on this kind of stuff.
Because you're handicapping humans voting.
But like, to your point though, the odds of Ohio State not, I mean, they are minus 400 to win the Big Ten.
Right.
Before the season starts right here on DraftKings, the next in line, Penn State, is plus 550, right? If that gives you any idea of where we sit with Ohio State in that conference, right? So
and
now you're getting their quarterback.
Micah Parsons isn't playing for Penn State.
And like you're getting their quarterback, who was literally a week and a half ago when we were talking about this, was it plus 225 or something, and now jumps to 6-1 because Mac Jones has a signature win, I guess, over Georgia. Fair, but not the fair for Mac Jones to move, but not, I don't think, for Fields to move all the way to 6-1.
Yeah.
It almost seems to me kind of like you're saying, like almost like you just, if it's something you want to do, put in your account because it's the price adjustment is just overcorrected. And again, it's Trevor Lawrence's award to lose. We've said that a million times, but is it out of the realm of possibility for Justin Fields to go out and have this, the most epic eight game season we've ever seen?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
Not at all.
Burrow came out of nowhere to win the Heisman, by the way. You know, I mean, like, he came out of nowhere to win the Heisman. He was going to be like an undrafted free agent, but when we went into the season.
By the way, that's one of the how can I put this? That's one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough. By the way, Tony Gonsolin retires Austin Meadows, first batter of the game at Globe Life Field, on a pop-up just inside the third baseline. So it's one out.
One down, Gil.
At Kelly. What's that?
One down, Gil. Let's go.
He's got a first inning bet. So every moment matters here. I was like, what is he laughing at? Oh, yeah, that's right. He's betting the first inning. Here's the 0-1 pitch, by the way, to Brandon Lau. It's going to be 1-1. So we'll let you know what happens with each at bat, and we'll update it accordingly. But what, you know, okay, so we all know this now. Joe Burrow just had the greatest, arguably the greatest passing season in the history of college football. And here's Justin Fields doing big things at Ohio State. Do we ever go after those coaches? Like the fact that Dwight Haskins started over Joe Burrow, like that was the decision at Ohio State and he had to transfer, and that Justin Fields was sitting over there at Georgia and he had to transfer. Like, do these coaches under Kyle Trask at Florida, like they didn't get he was better than Felipe Franks? Like, do we ever go after these coaches for that kind of thing? How do they not know that?
And that's LSU dodging a bullet with that, because Felipe Franks was committed to LSU for the longest amount of time and left them at the altar on signing day and actually flipped and went to Florida and ends up with the whole transfer thing of Burrow and whatever. So, it was, this weird kind of blessing in disguise.
And these are kids, and I'm not trying to disparage anybody who got chosen over these guys, but these guys are so good that you do wonder, like, how do the coaches go Teflon about that? They never seem to get – by the way, there's a shot from Brandon Lau. Goodbye, 1-0 Rays on a 3-1 pitch. A little oppo shot to left center off of Tony Gonsolin, and Brandon Lau has come alive. 1-0 Rays. And so your first inning bet is not done, but it's not looking good.
Not looking good though, Gil.
No. 410 feet. If you're into exit velocity, that was 106. But Brandon Lau draws first blood. And what does that do to the in-game line?
So what we've done instantly to this one, let's go ahead and click over to the World Series, is this moves now Rays as a minus 129 favorite now. Dodgers plus 104 live total all the way up to 9.
That's for the full game, just to be clear. Kelly's bet is for the first inning specifically. He's got the Dodgers to lead after the first inning. Minus 125, it could still result in a push, but he's going to need at least a run at this point. So Gonsolin, who has done so well first time through the order, based on the numbers we gave earlier, as reflected, I should say, by the numbers we gave earlier, now gives up the solo shot, and now he's got to face George Herman Babe Arosarena. Randy Arosarena, who has been the one Rays hitter.
I mean, his average is all the way down to 362 now.
Terrible.
This guy.
Terrible.
What's his problem?
He's been the one bat in this lineup that has really obviously done damage throughout the postseason. The Rays have got to love Brandon Lau's bat waking up there, because that's really their best offensive player consistently throughout the year, and he has just been in a slump of sorts here in the postseason.
No surprise to y'all. I mean, this is something that we've seen, you know, time and time again, but even before this pop out, that brief moment that the Dodgers were plus money, people were jumping all over the Dodgers at plus money because, again, they haven't even swung the bat yet.
That's right. And by the way, as you just hinted at right there, that was a pop-up, induced a pop-up from Arozarena just behind the infield. So two out now, 1-0 Rays. And I am going in here. I'm preparing. This is what bettors do. Readying my account to be there when in between innings. I'm not going to do it now while the inning is going on. But if this comes out 1-0 Rays, I'll happily jump in on the Dodgers at this point for a little more.
Yeah, the plus 105 got hit and hit hard very, very quickly.
I'm sure,
so people were like, okay, you're going to give me plus money when we haven't even stepped in the batter's box
That's
yet.
That's right.
Yes, I'll take it.
And it's not 3-0. It's not 4-0. It's 1-0. Here's G-Man Choi. So the boys downstairs here are very excited because this is the guy they had. Oh, we already had a homer, so it's over, right?
No, we just have
inside contest.
Homer bets. No, it's just doesn't have to be first.
So it's not first.
Yeah.
All right. So they're very excited by G-Man Choi's appearance here, as Tony Gonsolin deals to G-Man right now, 1-0 Rays, 2 down in the top of the first.
The rare up and in changeup that freezes the guy.
This is how the Rays have scored all postseason, right? With the exception of their second two runs yesterday. But this is how they've gotten on the board by and large, by the long ball. Gonsolin 1-1 pitch to G-Man, swing and a miss, 95 miles per hour. So I would say, our conversation with Joe Sheehan moments ago, I do think Davey Roberts is thinking to himself one time through the order. Probably didn't want to see the solo shot, of course. We know that much.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thinking still, same idea. Let's get him through the order one time. He's been successful doing that. If he can milk three innings out of Gonsolin with limited damage, and there's the splits again, first versus second time through the order, 150 opposing batting average, 213 OBP, and a 231 slugging percentage with 43 Ks to 11 walks. We don't have a home run stat on there, by the way, interestingly.
Right.
But that's courtesy of Joe Sheehan. Two balls, two strikes now to G-Man.
And we'll be following the props with Blake Snell. We weren't able to get any props on Gonsolin. Again, that was just how I'm sure the books were looking at the same thing we are. Have no idea what this kind of start was going to look like for Gonsolin. We're assuming at least three innings, but who knows? I mean, they might trot somebody else out there next inning. We don't really know. So I think they were thinking the same. So we weren't getting that, but Snell at 5.5. So we'll be monitoring that throughout the course of the evening.
So a strikeout of G-Man Choi gets the Dodgers out of the inning with no further damage. 1-0 Rays as we go to the bottom of the first. Kelly, I am in on the Dodgers at minus 103, sir.
Got it. I think we're all doing the same thing right now.
Minus 103 for Young Gill. You doing it, man? Matt Brown, pondering.
I'm not. I'm on the over. I just want runs. I don't care how they come.
Right.
I hope you. I want y'all to win your bet because they scored 10 runs right here in this inning, and then I don't even have to sweat.
We feel unloved, but okay, that's fine.
I don't even have to sweat. I don't even have to sweat. Just give me 7.5. Just give me 8 runs. Give me 7.5 runs. Give me 8 runs.
Yeah.
Can someone score half a run for me?
You got there yesterday.
Yeah.
You got there in cruise fashion to the over. We'll see if that happens tonight. So, Betts and Seager to start the assault now on the Rays. Blake Snell taking the hill with the Rays now a slight favorite with the 1-0 lead. That's how this works. Minus 115, minus 109 now. So I like my number at minus 103 that I just got. In-game total at 8, slightly juiced to the over on that. And then there's the run line, minus 1.5 on the Dodgers at plus 150, Rays plus 1.5 at minus 180 already with the one run lead. So Betts, Seager, and Turner coming up.
And, we continue to talk about the menu there. If you click in innings, there's an innings tab on DraftKings and you can go in and it will say money line after X. And so right now, if you thought that, hey, look, this Dodger team is going to get to Snell and they're going to get to him right now, you can take the Dodgers' first three innings at plus 165. You can take the Dodgers' first five innings at plus 120 on the live line right now in the money line after X. So, again, just a vast menu of different ways that you can go in and bet these games.
Let's repeat what you just said because I think that might have been lost on some folks. So there's so many different options at a shop like DraftKings, which, again, we're here in Nevada and we're super envious because we don't have these options. So you can now bet at DraftKings what who'll be ahead after the third inning? Who'll be ahead after the fifth? You could have done a pre-flop on the first five
you're
as well.
Nothing like these numbers right. on the Dodgers, yeah.
But right now, through three, the Rays are minus 230. The Dodgers are plus 165. Through five, the Dodgers are plus 120. Obviously, they'll have more mm-hmm. chances to catch up from the 1-0 mm-hmm. deficit. Fabulous.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah.
I know. It's just, those are fun. Those are fun. Those are real fun.
Plus 165 through three is awfully tempting.
I know.
But I'm not going to take it. Yeah. I'll take what I just did, which is the full game at minus 103.
I'm in too, Gil. I got even money. I got,
you got even
cents
money?
Better than you.
All right. 3 cents better than me. And Kelly now sweating his first inning bet.
Let's go Dodgers. Big time.
You need at least a run for a push here.
Bottom of first.
Blake Snell, 3.20 ERA this postseason. Four starts. 19 strikeouts against 10 walks, opponent batting average 232. He has given up four homers, though, in four appearances in the postseason. And here's his first pitch to Mookie Betts, and that's up for a strike. So we will update that batter by batter as that goes on. And we're also, Kelly and I are in-game in addition to our pre-flop wagers. Matt just playing it nitty, as they say in poker. Just sticking with your over.
I'm taking my over. We'll see what happens here with the Mookie Betts is going to hit me a 5-run shot right here, and we'll get going. But as we mentioned with Snell, I mean, we're watching this. I mean, this is his game log for 2020, and we're talking about like getting deep into games. So let's just start when he was really kind of making full starts.
Why don't you hold that?
Oh yeah, we got.
Why don't you hold that thought?
We'll get back to it.
We're riveted by that.
We'll come back
and we'll get you the update on baseball. Coming back, VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings.
DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania only. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. Danielle will be with us momentarily to throw some props at us or give us some other sort of tempting things to bet on. Well, Kelly didn't win his first inning bet. Blake Snell, 1-2-3 on the Dodgers, struck out Mookie Betts swinging, got Justin Turner for the third out. In between, though, a little bit of drama. Corey Seager hit the ball a mile. Problem is he hit it to the wrong part of the ballpark, right in the corner there at Globe Life Field. Sorry about that, Kelly.
I knew it was going to be close. When that ball came off the bat, I knew it was going to be close, but when the outfielder starts running that hard backwards, so I was like, this might have a chance, and then, like you said, perfect part of the puck.
Yeah. Globe Life Field, hard to hit the ball out of, even though we saw Mookie do it yesterday. And we saw Brandon Lau do it earlier. 1-0 Rays through one. Updated line.
And 2 Ks for Snell, we were talking about. He would have to average more than one an inning. He is on pace at doing that if he was only going to go what we've seen him go so far, you know, in 2020. Updated game lines here is minus 148 on the Rays, plus 118 on the Dodgers. In-game total of 8, minus 115, however, if you want the over of 8.
Can we do those alternate lines again, the ones that you just talked about, just to give you a sense of total runs, money line after X. Now the Rays through 3, and this is so interesting, minus 500. The Dodgers are plus 325. Through 5, Dodgers plus 185. And then, of course, for the game, as you just talked about, Dodgers plus 118.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that they have this. I'm glad we stumbled upon this. This is fun. I'm glad they have this.
You do. I mean, it's one of these sites where you do, if you poke around long enough, you find some stuff. You're like, oh, they have that?
Yeah.
How interesting. here are the World Series Game 2 splits, by the way, courtesy of DraftKings. We haven't gone over these. These are pre-flop numbers from before the game started. Percent handle, percent bets. Second verse, same as the first. We saw this in game one as well. If in the run line market, meaning the favorite has to win by more than a run and a half, the dog either wins or loses by a run, because they're at plus one and a half, Dodgers, 80% of the handle, 75% of the tickets, total runs, no surprise, once again, about 4-1 in favor of the over. And then on the money line, the preflop number where the Dodgers were minus 150, were they minus 150 at the closer? This was earlier in the day.
Earlier in the day.
Yeah, yes. Tampa Bay at plus 128. Tampa Bay got most of the money, 63% of the handle, 58% of the total number of tickets. That surprising you?
There was a lot of movement earlier on Tampa Bay. I mean, there was, you know, supposedly some people who were, once this got announced as a bullpen game, mm-hmm. that they were like, okay, I'm going to jump on the Rays at this price. But there was nothing that it ever got to for me that made me want to get involved on a side, on the Rays side anyway, right? Like, I mean, the number was only... I mean, 125-ish or something like that, you know, 130-ish when everyone was like, oh, you got to run, you got to go bet the Rays.
Not enough bang for them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, oh, you got to go bet the Rays, and you're looking, it's like 130. I mean, that's not enough for me.
Gonsolin falls behind Manuel Margot to start off the top of the second, 3-1 the count now, 3-1. It'll be Margot, Adames, and Wendell going for, or would that be Margot, Wendell, and Adames? Can't remember the order, but they're about to happen right here. And that is a 5-pitch walk as Manuel Margot takes first base. So the Rays, with a leadoff base runner in the second, already up 1-0 as Tony Gonsolin now pitches out of the stretch.
So the other NFL news today is this Antonio Brown stuff.
You are telling me something I don't know.
So he is able to, he's off of his suspension starting week 8, after week 8.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam Schefter comes out and says there are multiple teams interested and that the Seattle Seahawks are positioning themselves to sign Antonio Brown.
Interesting.
So you have DK Metcalf, you have Tyler Lockett, and then supposedly would be adding Antonio Brown. Everybody loses their mind. Everyone talks about, can you imagine this 3 wide receiver set? Oh my God, you've already got DK Metcalf and Tyler. Like, this goes back to some of this other stuff we've talked about with some of these other players is we don't know if Antonio Brown can still play or not.
We don't. It's been a while.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
And also, he has now had 2 different teams run him off. So to think that, oh, he'll just fit right in, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Though I will say this, we haven't heard much of a peep out of him lately, which is a good development. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll update you on the baseball. It's VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. Danielle next.
We could all use some expert guidance with our weekly football betting, and now VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, is providing all access to everything we offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides, access to our 24/7 live video stream and daily email updates featuring the best bets, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews, plus our updated college football guide, including all the Big Ten teams. Give yourself an edge. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Gil, Matt.
All right, updating baseball. After the Manuel Margot walk against Tony Gonsolin, he then stole second. Gonsolin then got Wendell to fly out, but to deep center, good enough for a sacrifice fly. Margot went to third, and then Davey Roberts, he said, enough of Tony Gonsolin. So Gonsolin does not get through the order the first time through, and Dylan Floro comes in to face Willy Adames with Margot at third, Rays already up 1-0, one out in the second.
You guys holding Dodgers tickets, does that bother you that he gets the 6-batter hook?
It's not ideal. It's not what you were looking for, but given what the situation is, I'm not terribly bothered by that.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think, like Gil said, we were hoping and planning he'd go once through the order. Wouldn't be surprised if he got yanked quickly after that, and this just sped up the timeline.
I mean, this is a big run here on third base for the Rays. I mean, they need every chance they get. They got to cash in on it. Now it's a 1-2 pitch from Florio to Adames. This is a big pitch right here, low, 2-2. But this is, you know, Adames has got to make this work for the Rays right here. Big out if he does not. And does not make it a productive out. Danielle, you have a prop of sorts?
Let's look at updated NFC East win totals.
Oh, this is
everybody's fun. Favorite division. Yeah, with three teams that only have one win, which is usually where you find the last place team in all the other divisions. The only exception being the NFC West. The 49ers are 3-3, and they're in last in that division. But not in the NFC East, no. Cowboys leading. With two wins, they're plus 115 division odds.
I just pumped my fist. Ground ball to shortstop Corey Seager, and the Rays have done this before. They did it once with, you know, when it was contact at third base, or was that the Braves? Yeah, it was the Braves in the previous series. And they ran on contact there, and an easy play to the plate.
As easy as you will see on a force-out play at home. I mean, he beat him by three steps.
Yeah, Margot out at the plate. Couldn't be easier. So the Rays now with a runner at first, but now nobody in scoring position, up 1-0. That is a huge play by the Dodgers right there, and I just don't know why. Again, when it's hit to the left side of the infield like that, third base was one thing against the Braves. You absolutely don't go. This was questionable, too. But he went. That was the play.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get it that you're – I mean, he's one of the faster guys on the team. But that was – we were taught – I mean, maybe analytics has changed, Gil. I don't know. But we were taught if it's on the ground to the left side, you don't go. Right side, you go. Left side, you don't go. Yeah. You're in front of them. They can see you the whole time. They know exactly – they can easily make the throw.
Yeah. We're 1,000 years old.
I know. It's – yeah.
Answering your question, Danielle.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
This is fascinating, what you bring to us, because this is the NFC East, and it's hilarious, let's be honest. First of all, Washington, why are they off the board? They're so bad that they don't want to put one up there? What's going on there? Why is that the case? But the Cowboys' updated win total is 6.5. The Eagles are 6, and the Giants are 4. We don't know about Washington. Off the board.
Also, Cowboys, yes, plus 110 to make the playoffs. Someone's got to, right?
Well, but think about the 6.5 for a second, and the Eagles at 6. It is very realistic. What this is telling us is that it is very realistic that we could have a division winner with a home playoff game at 6-10 here.
I think there's a prop on that, on how many wins will the NFC East division winner have. There's an over or under on that, right?
They just reposted this today. It is, we went over this last week. For the division winner, 7.5, over minus 150, under plus 123.
Wait a minute. So the under is plus money at 7.5? Yes. Well, there's your bet, right?
Yeah.
Based on what we just saw. Forget that.
I thought you might be into that one.
Oh, I'm into
it. Who's getting to 8 wins?
Nobody. No way.
Who's getting to 8 wins?
It's not even on the win totals. It's not even on the updated win totals.
So how do they have both of those markets? By the way, Florio, 1-2, one ball, two strike ahead of Kevin Kiermaier here, still runner at first after that debacle on the previous batter there where Margot was thrown out at home. That's unbelievable to me. So that they have both of those. How can they have both of those markets up at the same time and no one at DraftKings is like, hey, we might want to, not to go after DraftKings, but I'm just saying, like, it's obvious that you would play the under on the 7.5, right? What am I missing?
Yeah, yes. I guess unless you thought, you liked multiple overs on those win totals, but.
Right. You could essentially play multiple. That's correct. But I'll take the under 7.5.
Just be taking the under 7.5 and plus money and. Call it a day.
Yeah, the win totals guy and the division guy are not on speaking terms right now, so they didn't.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they didn't mean to make it sound that way.
There's been
a problem. They're not speaking. That makes sense. Perfect sense. But I would go under 7.5. I wouldn't mess, by the way, there's an attempted steal and, called safe at second base. That's Adames who stole second base. We'll see if there's a review here or not. But right now, we have the Rays at second. They will take a look at it, I think.
Did we not put up a graphic earlier about any team to go 16-0?
We did.
And it was. And it
three
was 14,
teams still undefeated?
14-1.
Yes, it was.
People apparently have been taking the yes. It is down to 11-1.
People like a long-term bet like that.
So who's still undefeated? Seahawks, Titans, and Steelers?
Correct. And the Titans and Steelers play each other this week. So it'll be two after this week. Unless they tie, and then it's only the Seahawks. because it's 16-0. It's not 15-0.
So not the best time to get
unless
in
unless they tie.
Right, and if they tie, they could be donezo. Ooh, did he get in there? Did Adames get in there a second? I think he might have. It's gonna. They're reviewing it right now. So yeah, as for going back to your season wins.
Yeah.
If we were forced, let's say that other market didn't exist, because the play is definitely under 7.5 NFC East plus money. But if we were forced to play one of those, which would you play, Matt?
If I had to play one of those, I would play the division odds at plus 135 on the Eagles.
I was just going to
say. So you think they're going to win it all, like the division?
That's what he would play.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm just clarifying. Truly, the Eagles? Okay.
Win it all is a strong statement. I like how she caught herself.
This is the best they can hope to win this year is the division.
I was gonna say the Giants know, and then I saw the juice on it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You can't play that.
But when you look at that graphic, the other thing to point out is so you're playing the Eagles to win the division. You're never playing them to make the playoffs because whoever wins this division is making the playoffs, and no other team is making the playoffs out of this division. So you want the better number at division as opposed to make the playoffs, just to point that out. There's going to be one team from that division.
Would you play both? To make the playoffs and win the division?
I would not. Under 7.5 is the way to play that. Under 7.5 in that other market in terms of the NFC East. Will a team win over under 7?
Stolen base overturned end of inning.
There it is. Dodgers get out of it. We'll come back. We'll update baseball next. VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and new customers receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up and start betting with the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's that easy. Download the app, use code VSIN, and get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook for full details. Gil, Matt.
Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin here on VSiN's Primetime Action powered by DraftKings. We'll update baseball as they start the bottom of the second. Snell facing Muncy as events warrant. But we're thrilled to have this gentleman on with us right now. He is a PGA and NFL analyst over at DraftKings. Reed Fowler. Reed, thanks so much for joining us, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Reed, before we talk golf, because I know that's what you're here for, but we were just talking about an NFC East prop at DraftKings. Total number of wins for the NFC East winner, 7.5. The under is at plus money. Should we not be betting that, for goodness sake?
Yeah. One rule of thumb I always try to incorporate in my betting is never bet on bad teams, and that's a bad division. So I'd like to stay away. I think it's nice. I think it's fun, right? Because the East is just so wide open, but I've tried to incorporate that more this year than any other year because there's so much uncertainty and good teams can become bad teams if guys are out due to COVID or whatnot. We've seen a ton of injuries. So yeah, that's just the rule of thumb that I like to live by.
Reed, so looking here at the Zozo, we have a course that is unique for a lot of people who are going to be paying attention this week. And I think a lot of people will. I mean, a tournament that gets moved over here that normally doesn't happen this time of year. And we're playing on a course with 5-5s and 5-3s. And a lot of people don't, normally see courses that have the 5-5s and 5-3s. So when you kind of first started looking into this, what type of player then did that shift your attention towards, considering there's these extra scoring holes?
Yeah. I mean, I think for the guys, it doesn't really matter for the players. Right. I think that's for us as analysts. It's nice to talk about because we don't really get that right. Especially the 5 par 3s. You see some of the par 5 stuff and it's some of like the other tournaments, the secondary tournaments, but not so much par 3s. What I've done too, when you look at this type of course, right, you look at past winners, you also want to try and figure out what the winning score is going to be, right? How many strokes gained total over the field a guy needs to gain? And this one's really tough, right? Because the last time that we've seen Sherwood, it was in 2013. And of those tournaments, too, it was a condensed field. It was Tiger's tournament. We only had 18 to 20 guys. And so when you look at and you hear the stats that Tiger's won this five times, runner up also five times in this event, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. The guys that don't, like, the guys have won, though, here, right? Extremely accurate and strategic off a tee, great with their wedges. And like what we've seen in almost all of these events, especially in the fall season, is that putting has been something that you really need to get. Like, that's obvious. If you putt better than most of the field, you're going to win most times than not. But I think putting here specifically on these fast bent grass greens is going to be key.
For the second straight week after the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek here, we have a pretty star-studded field. Yeah. John Rahm, the short shot. But everybody's in this. Shoffley, Rory, obviously Bryson DeChambeau is not, so let me not say everybody. How are you betting this outright? And what other derivative markets are you looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, for the longer shots, I love the top 10s, top 20s. I mean, the lottery shot, so to speak, on DraftKings Sportsbook, you get the leader after round one. Those are always fun, right? That's like betting like no runs first inning. It's a nice way to get the action going early. But in terms of outrights, I'm keeping a short, condensed type of card. And really, when you look at these events, granted, we've seen guys like Stuart Sink, we've seen guys like Jason Kokrak win some of the older guard. More times than not, you're going to see the JTs, the Xanders do well in these stronger fields, right? Colin Morikawa is a popular guy. But a number that I'm looking at specifically is a guy in Patrick Reed. I think when you take a look at what he's done in terms of his current form and how he plays well on fast bent grass greens and how he plays well and wants to play well at Tiger's course, which is what this is. You look at Patrick Reed at that number at 25. I mean, the guy is just right now with this approach is fantastic. And get him on fast bend, what we've seen at Augusta, what we've seen where him do well, right, at Liberty National, that's kind of the course fit that you want, right? If it's not the bombers, because guys that can hit it strong off the tee, of course they're going to have an advantage. Give me a guy who's great with his wedges. And in this strong field, he thinks he's the best golfer, even though he might not be. The guy's going to think he's the best golfer. So in terms of value and betting the number as opposed to necessarily betting a golfer like Xander, who's been playing great at 18, give me Patrick Reed at 25. I think there's more value there.
One of the most conflicting things in sports, to have a bet on Patrick Reed on a Sunday in a golf tournament.
Yeah, well, for me anyway. Yeah. One of the guys, yeah, for sure. Reed, so how are you dealing with Rory? I mean, he comes out at Shadow and has this stretch where he looks like the old Rory and then has this epic collapse at the end of the tournament. He's sitting at 12-1. I can't imagine betting him outright. And then I look at this, you know, matchup, and they have, you know, over at DraftKings, they have him matched up right now with Xander, where you only have to pay 120 on Xander. It's even money on Rory. And, you know, I understand that when everything is rocking and rolling, Rory has the, you know, we could argue is the best player in the world. But the problem is we just haven't seen consistency from him in any way, shape or form, especially since the restart here. Am I crazy to think that Xander minus 120 here against Rory is something I should be loading up the account with?
Loading up, maybe not, right? Because we've seen, like you mentioned, Xander is like one thing about Xander that he's doing fantastic, which is what he hasn't in the past, is his putting has been great over the last three tournaments. And he's got two runner ups and a top five, right, in those last three. So the thing about putting, though, is that can switch from day to day. We've seen it. Jason Kokrak gained 10 strokes putting in the tournament, but we saw him that final day on Sunday last week. He gained a ton of strokes putting. That can always switch. Xander is playing great. Like, there's nothing short of what he's doing. He's just not winning. He's got a ton of runners up. But a guy like Rory, if he gets it going, like you mentioned, when you start to say, like, loading up on Xander, we've seen a guy like Xander in this position before, and then come Saturday, kind of that Ricky Fowler effect or a Tony Finau effect, we've seen Xander relinquish a lead, and we kind of saw that this past weekend, right, on Saturday, where guys were going low and Xander wasn't really doing anything. So in terms of a matchup, I don't mind. Like, it's not as bad as maybe the outright, right? Like, the outright, you got, I mean, it's one or second place is first loser. So in terms of a matchup, I don't mind it. But four rounds of Rory, that's the one thing that scares me, is because he can get a hot round. And if he's gone, he's unbeatable.
Talking to Reed Fowler, DraftKings PGA and NFL analyst. When we have more time, Reed, we'll pick your brain about some NFL stuff. We do a little mythical contest here on set on Primetime Action where we take 500 mythical dollars. We spread them around five different bets. I plan on copying everything you tell us right now. top 10, top 20, top fives. What are you looking at right here?
Yeah. So again, like I like Patrick Reed. A couple of guys down the board. I mean, Adam Scott was one of my favorites, but he's withdrawn with COVID. Kevin Kisner. I think Kevin Kisner, if you want to go outright and really get a big ticket on that, I think on DraftKings Sportsbook, he's at 110 right now. He's someone that I'm excited about, but top 10 at plus 750. You talk about courses that correlate, right? Because we haven't seen this yet. What I've seen a ton is RBC Heritage, so that Harbortown is a course that we've seen a lot of crossover. You've seen guys like Zach Johnson, some of these other players, Graham McDowell, guys who are Jim Furyk, really good with their wedges and their putting. And that is Kevin Kisner. So plus 750 in a top 10 for Kevin Kisner. Again, if you really want to go off the and throw a dart for him to win outright, he's played well in stronger fields. I really like that. And first round leader, how about Cam Champ? Like Cam Champ, like we think he should play well on longer courses because he's got so much distance. But if you see his wins and where he does well, it's on these shorter courses. And now with those five par fives where he can really start to use that distance to his advantage, I think if you look at Cam Champ, first round leader, you don't have to worry about him for all four rounds. I think that's something also you can sprinkle. Not everything, just a little bit, because you don't need a ton for first round leaders to hit.
All right, Reed, we got about a minute left, but every time he's in the field, we have to ask, to Tiger or not to Tiger? Is this a bet on or a fade situation?
If there is a spot, if there is a week, because we haven't had one in forever, I think this is a Tiger week because of what we said, right? And if you take a look at, you know, this course being played a few weeks before the Masters, there's no mistake about that. Tiger, this is his course. He wants to get ready for Augusta. The guys playing here, you know, Tiger has a lot of clout, but the guys playing here know that, you know, you need to be sharp with your wedges and your approaches. So if there is a Tiger week, this is it.
All right. Reed, we appreciate it. It's Reed T. Johnson at Reed T. Johnson on Twitter, R-E-I-D. We will have you back before the Masters because there's nothing like November at Augusta. So we look forward to that, Reed.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Reed T. Johnson from DraftKings, PGA, NFL analyst. I have written all these down. You may notice that when we do our golf
Reed
contest
Fowler,
later,
Reed Fowler.
What did I say?
Johnson.
Reed Johnson. Who's Reed Johnson?
I don't even know.
Somebody.
I don't know.
You're thinking Dustin Johnson or something.
I don't know what I'm doing.
We were talking golf. Whatever.
What am I doing? First, by the way, runners at first and second. You will notice in my golf picks later that I will have stolen a couple of his.
All right.
First and second for the Dodgers. Two walks in this bottom of the second, but two down now for Blake Snell and the Rays. What is the live line right here in this situation?
In this exact situation, we are sitting plus 104 Dodgers, minus 130 Rays.
Okay. Kike Hernandez at the plate. This obviously a big moment that you cannot emphasize enough how big of a squandered opportunity that was for the Rays moments ago on that ground ball to Seager where they sent Margot went on contact out at the plate. So it remains 1-0. And there's a two down here, 0-1, no balls and one strike now to Kike as the Rays try to preserve their 1-0 lead here. Game two of the World Series. We thank Joe Sheehan for being with us earlier. We thank Reed Fowler for joining us here moments ago. We'll do our golf contest
next hour, right here.
We will do that next, and we'll update baseball. Still looking for in-game opportunities. Kelly and I already made one in-game bet on this in addition to our pre-flop wagers. We will update it all as it's Kike in an 0-2 hole right now with runners at first and second. Game two of the World Series and golf, football as well. It's VSiN's Primetime Action powered by DraftKings.